to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. Thank you for being here. We're so glad that you are here and you're in the right place for in-depth conversation about your life, your purpose, and personal wellness in every aspect of your life. We talk about real issues to develop life, relationships, and business on purpose. We keep it real. And today on the show, we're excited to have Blackamore Hampton, who is an author of Everything You Need to Know About Stocks for Now and a mentor. Welcome, Blackamore. How are you today?
Hey.
Great.
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing terrific. So we're excited to have you on the show today. Well, I am, because the audience hasn't heard what I know already. So I'm excited about the stock portion because I always read about, you know, Black Wall Street, and I always wanted to see that happen again. So I think talking about this today is something I want to do, and I think is important for generational wealth. So tell me how you first got started in stocks.
How I got started, it was kind of like I kind of was always was always looking for ways to make money since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of a mindset I naturally had. Mm-hmm. Like I remember I used to always ask my mom for a gumball at the gumball machine, and I knew that they cost a quarter.
Right.
And I also knew that four quarters made a dollar.
Right.
And one day we was at Mid-K, mm-hmm. and there was a bag of gum, and it was like eight pieces of gum in there, and I knew that was more than a dollar in that $1 bag, because the bag of gum cost $1.
Right.
So I took my first business loan from my mom and took the gum and flipped it to my classmates and things like that. So,
so you sound like my son.
So having that kind of mindset, and then becoming an adult during the information age, like once I was becoming an adult is when Google came out and things
right.
like that.
Right.
So it kind of naturally led me to the stock market. And,
okay.
And so my first investment was into Pepsi.
Okay.
And I made $100 inside of a week, and I never made money without having to trade my time for it or risk my freedom
right.
for it.
So exactly. Exactly.
That was a crazy concept to me. So I kind of stuck with it ever since.
That's wonderful. I like that. I like the fact that you are really keeping it honest. I like that. And I invested in Google. I wish I invested more when Google first came out. I invested in Google, and I was telling everybody, I think this is going to go wildfire. I think it's going to go crazy, you know. And I'm glad that, you know, are you a millennial? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so sense. I'm glad that you are in the stock market and you can give, you know, other black men, young black men, the fortitude to kind of do this, because you made a great point. I invested and I made $100 inside of a week. And that's what's important. So tell us about the premise on how this book came about.
The book came about because, like, I was like a nerd or like a unicorn. I was the only one around me talking about stock. Like, uh-huh. I could talk to the homies about. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I could talk to people about who was better between LeBron James and Kobe Bryant.
Right.
I could talk to people about who was better between Tupac and Biggie. But when it was time to talk about what was a better investment between Apple and Google or something.
Uh-huh.
Nobody had nothing to say but me. I didn't really like that feeling, and I would like see stats like how Black people lead in poverty,
right?
And how white people are 35% more likely to invest in the stock market than Black people.
Yeah.
And how on average they're worth $132,000 more than Black people, despite having the exact same income, which indicate there's different decisions being made.
Right.
A different level of consciousness. So I wanted to put the book out. I like to learn new things, but I don't like to read, but I read because that's how you learn.
I wanted to make
the book as simple as possible and relatable as possible. I left grammatical errors on purpose just to spite English class from high school and things like that.
Right.
So how the book came about. I want the information to be available.
Okay. So tell me about, I'm on chapter 2 already. So, you know, I'm going to start talking to you about this book because I like what you're saying. I like the information that you're bringing about. I'm going to invite you back for something else. I don't know. I'm getting creative because what you're talking is what I love. I love this. I love the generational breaking of those habits, those, you know, the consciousness, this enslaved consciousness that we do have. I love that you're breaking that. Like it. I like it a lot. But I like this title in chapter 2, Scared Money Don't Make Money. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. the main reason it seemed like people wouldn't even deal with stocks to begin with is they would say, oh, you know, that's only for rich people, or that's for white people, or
right.
I'm not good at math, or I don't know what they're talking about, the words sound off, this and that.
Right.
And I personally feel like they use these big old words too intimidated so that we won't even try.
Sure.
Because once I started learning how to invest in stocks, it's really, you can make it complicated, but it doesn't have to be complicated.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what inspired the chapter and the book in total. That's like another reason why I didn't want it to be grammatically correct all the way.
Right.
It was just my way of spiking how they look to intimidate us with their fancy words and fancy terminology.
Like, amen. Amen to that.
Right. So that's what that was about.
Okay. That's real. I want to tell you, audience, that this book is very, I thought it was going to be like intimidating. I will tell you that, but it's easy reading. It's very simple to understand. And, you know, I started real estate. I started working in real estate when I was in the early 30s. And you talk about, you know, investing in real estate, and you talk about it in the third chapter about starting a business or buying a business. And you talk about how much work it takes, right, to create a business, but how much effort it also takes just to, you know, get involved with stocks. And not until I kind of didn't want to do any real estate anymore did I find out I can invest in real estate and still in stocks and still be involved in real estate. So can you dispel some like myths around business ownership in that respect?
Yeah. So like with business, when it comes to starting a business, like you said, or like I even mentioned in the book, it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of resilience. It takes a lot of details, network. Like, if you don't have a passion for the business you're starting,
mm-hmm.
you likely will fail. This is why a lot of businesses do fail, because most businesses start with the idea of money in mind as opposed
right.
to business. And it's going to take a whole lot of successful multi-billion-dollar business. It's not in the cards for everybody.
Right.
But everybody can invest in those companies. Everybody can bet on those who have already have a track record of doing so. So, you know, there's because at the end of the day, I don't believe that you can achieve financial freedom without having ownership of a business, whether you started it yourself or you invested in others.
Right.
And the stock market is the lowest barrier to entry. You know, they don't care if you're a woman, if you're black, if your credit's bad,
right,
if you're a felon, anybody can invest. So it's the easiest opportunity.
The lowest barrier of entry. Hashtag that. I like it. I like that. I like that. And hashtag his name, audience, Blackmore. BLAQAMORE with that. I love it. Lowest
right.
barrier of entry. I love it. Do you think that's why Robinhood has gotten so much attention? Do you think that's...
Yeah, Robinhood, they've made it extremely intuitive and, like, easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... And then plus they have the referral program. So, like, if I sign you up under my Robinhood account, they'll give me two free stocks or a free stock. And every once in a while, they give you a real good one that's worth $1,000.
Right. every now and again.
They was able to do that, though.
Right.
Because they were selling your information to hedge funds.
Ah, got it. Got
that's
it.
That's how they were making it, because it was zero commission. So you did, like, when I came in the game, you had to pay every time.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
I was like, that cost how much? Yeah. And when people would tell me about the Robinhood and it was free, I was like, what?
Yeah.
How are they making money? Like, yeah, that's good information. See, audience, Blackmore is amazing. He knows the ins and outs. I asked him about a company, and he already knows why it existed. This is good information. How do you, with your clients, and you work with them, I'm sure that you work with hundreds, right? How do you begin to work with them? Where do they come from, first of all? And how do you begin to work with them to kind of get their mindset to where... you know, that they can build wealth?
Basically all through my social media. I'm always posting informational content.
Okay.
And, you know, after a while, they see the type of information I put out, it starts to build a trust. And we'll start working from there, and we'll discuss their goals,
mm-hmm.
What they're looking to get out of it.
Right.
Sometimes I have to dispel myths. Like, so this right here is something that's very counterintuitive, and it almost sounds like it doesn't make sense. But one of the main things I tell people, as far as investing is concerned, trading is a different story, but as far as investing for the long term, building wealth,
yeah,
you don't do that to necessarily make money
right away.
It's more of it's a wealth building tool.
Yes.
I use it as a savings account that you could borrow against.
Exactly.
If you're doing it just to make money, at that point you're looking to time the market, and the trades are short terms, and then there's more taxes on it, and nobody successfully timed the market. At least not on purpose.
Say that right. And you have to have a lot of money not to feel the pinch, you know?
Yeah. So I try to make sure that they have realistic expectations, and then we go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You talked about, the need to have the mindset that it's long-term. And in one of your chapters, let me see, 6, you talk about cash flow, risk. Talk about risk because you said something, and I'm going to read your quote. Unfortunately, a lot of people use risk and stupid synonymously. So explain that one.
So, like, every time somebody will come to me with an idea, the less sound the business idea was, the more they like to say, well, you know, you got to take risks. It's like, well, then you could take risks on something that has a much higher odds of playing out.
Right.
So, like, for example, I'm pretty sure you heard of, like, Dogecoin with the different cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
Like different meme coins. These coins is literally made as jokes.
Yeah.
And
yep.
So if you want to go in there and gamble, you know, for the short term, you know what you're getting yourself into. But
right.
to come in with the mindset of, I'm gonna put all my savings into it, and yeah. it's gonna grow over these years. That's not risk. That's stupid.
Stupid. They literally are
telling you, they're making these coins to be a mockery.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Or it could be like to bring it a little bit more prestige. You might talk about like certain penny stocks,
mm-hmm.
and these are companies that haven't made money since their inception. As a matter of fact, they lose more money each year. And they'll try to talk you into it by saying, you know, you got to take risks. No, right. That's just stupid. You don't have to do that. There's literally thousands of different companies you can invest in. It doesn't have to be that one. Why not invest in a company that's proven that they can make money year over year over year?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a risk, but it's a much smarter risk. You take smart risks, not stupid risks.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's, I know Dr. Phil always says, common sense is not common enough. But it really isn't common sense. It's really, you know, educating yourself. And what you're doing here is really giving education, because people with a mindset, I know when I'm working with a lot of people on their life or their relationships or their business concept, right? They always want to get something fast, and because they're in lack, they lack, you know, they don't have no overage, they lack. And when they lack something, they always want to make up for the lack and fill that hole up. So when you talk about this, it really, I get it because it's stupid. Yeah, synonymously, risk, stupid, yeah, stupid. You know? It's just stupid. You know, not thinking or not researching something. So many of my clients will say, oh, I got a great idea, let's do this. But never research, never do the research and what, you know, what it takes, what certificates you need, who you need to be contacting, where you need to be, how much, you know, what's your competition, you know, who's in your area that could use this, no research whatsoever. And I think research, what you're saying, is very, very important. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Research, research, no stupidity. I got it now. Okay, audience, no stupidity. In chapter 28, you talk about your strategy. Give us a quickie on the strategy you have.
It's very common sense. It's so common sense, it may sound like I'm trying to be funny, but it's literally just invest in good companies.
Right.
Invest in good companies, especially during good economic conditions.
Right.
So then the question becomes, what's a good company?
Right.
And then the answer to that is the company that makes money. Sounds common sense.
Right.
But then you may ask, how do you know a company makes money? And this is where it can actually be a little bit tricky.
Right.
So when you look at a company's, when you look at their financials, they got the balance sheet, the income statement, and the cash flow statement.
Right.
I like to focus more on the cash flow statement because I like to look for what's called free cash flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the formula for that is cash flows from operations minus capital expenditures.
Gotcha.
What does this mean? I like to use this metric because it's the most difficult metric to manipulate and lie with.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to just look at net margin, they can play with the different numbers. They can play with the sales. They can count sales that haven't happened yet. They can count sales in the future or sales that technically happened last month or this month, and they can play with it and make it seem like they're making more money than they are. But free cash flows only accounts for the actual cash that the company has brought in, so there's little room for counting sales that haven't happened yet or making a sale count twice just for this quarter so they can meet the earnings report and all of that. That's why I like to focus on free cash flow.
Free
and if that number is positive,
mm-hmm.
and that number gets bigger year after year after year,
uh-huh.
that is my definition of a good company that's actually making money. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Free cash flow. Ooh, hashtag that. Audience, I like that too. I like that. I like what your book brings even into my life, right? You know, just reading it, I was like, wait a minute, this is it? You know, I was like, I can eat this book up. You mean this is it? In one sitting, I just devoured this book. It was really something that explained it because I never wanted to get into it because, number one, I was kind of afraid of numbers. Those graphs, you do have those graphs, and I in audience, it's at the end of the book. It's not throughout the book, so don't get crazy. It's at the end of the book. So, you know, the graphs is what made me afraid, but what you have given in the book really, really just makes it so plain that, okay, now what is my next step? The only thing I missed in the book is like, okay, where are you? How can I get you right now? Like, that wasn't at the end, you know, after the grifts, because I wanted to get started right away. So as a reader, let me just say, I was like, you don't got his phone number here. Get my... That's just, you know, can't make an appointment, you know, that kind of thing. This is the type of book audience that you can actually get an ebook. The ebook is simple. But I like to have paper because I like to feel it, like to highlight it. You know, I like to go crazy with it so I can ask questions. Oh. So I thank you for this book. These chapters are amazing. One little last note, and I'm going to go to chapter 11. And you talk about how to really interpret the charts. Now, that's my scary part. So tell me a little bit about how to tell the audience how to really interpret the charts.
Very simple for long-term investors. Like I got a little fancy for the short-term traders who may appreciate things like doji candles and all of that.
Yes.
For those of us looking for just long-term generational wealth, all you have to do is when you look at the chart, is it gradually going up and has been going up for a while? Mm-hmm. Is it like a 45 degree angle line slanted to the upper right?
Okay.
If that's the case, it's likely a good company because they've proven year after year after year that they can appreciate their stock price.
Okay.
And it's really as simple as that. You don't have to get too deep into the candlesticks and the volume and what relative strength index and all that stuff means. That's for the fancy traders who want to day trade and all of that.
Okay.
That's just making it complicated. Gotcha. Has the price gone up gradually over time, somewhat predictably, mm-hmm. year over year over year? And that's really it.
Okay.
That's the whole chapter summed up.
Yeah. You made it simple, but you kind of scared me with the candlesticks. I'm like, candlesticks? You kind of scared me. Then I had to go think about what you wrote. So I said, okay. Candlesticks. But, okay, so now how do... anyone in my audience, get in touch with you and start right away working with you on the stock element?
It could be emailed at blackamore@gmail.com.
Okay.
So you have my actual name somewhere so they can know how to spell it. just shoot me an email and we can get to work right away.
Okay.
Outside of that, if you just want to kind of learn on your own from other material I have, just go to blackamore.com.
Okay.
I have content on my social media, on my YouTube.
Okay.
I have a course, online course that you could take as well if you really want to take it serious and learn on your own.
And where is that?
Blackamore.com and blackamore.com.
Okay. I was going to ask, where was that course? It's on Blackamore?
Yep, blackamore.com.
Okay. Got it. All right. And I love everything that you're talking about. Thank you. For doing what you're doing and showing up in the world. Now, I'm going to ask you, who kind of like pushed you when you were doing this book? Did anyone, like, you know, your mother, your father, did they push you to kind of do this book?
To do the book?
Yes.
Well, actually, my mom did indirectly. We was riding around.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what we was talking about.
Right.
But she said, she was like, you know, she said in the Bible, it's a sin to have knowledge and not share it with the world.
Ooh, that wasn't indirect. That was straight to the heart, twisted around, and you right, do right. something about it.
So, you know, that kind of planted a seed in me and grew. I mm-hmm. never forgot her saying that. So that's what ultimately pushed me to make the book.
Okay. When did the entrepreneurial bug bite you?
I think it was that Mid-K visit. That's my first.
You were a kid, right? You were a kid. And that stays with you forever. Maybe, what are you, about 5 or 6? Maybe?
I was six.
Yeah. My son did that at 6 when he figured out, oh, wait, we can go to Price Club and get this candy? What? And, you know what? You know, it was like it was the best thing that ever happened. You know, like, you know. And then he made a little booth. Did you make a little booth too, like on the outside of the yard, and like put it there, and everybody that came by bought candy. He was like,
I didn't go that far.
He was like, yo, everybody had candy. You know, it was great. Then he started selling T-shirts and stuff like that, like tie dyes. It was, he went crazy. But yeah, I like that you had the entrepreneurial bug and you kept it going in a positive way. And you moved in productivity. And I believe you had fun with it, because the way you've written the book looks like you had fun. It looks like you had fun. You didn't waste any time. You just like, here it is. And it wasn't like a bullet point. It was explained enough that you understood enough. And I like that. Yeah. This book gets 100 from me. I don't know. No, you got to get stars, right? Yeah, we got to get stars. Okay, this gives a 5. I'm going to definitely shout you out on my blog, because this is really a really good book. And I'm always thinking of connections to make for you. Like, I'm like excited. I'm ready for you to speak in front of people for me. I'm like really excited. I'm excited because I know how important generational wealth is. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
I know how important it is, and I know I'm always talking it, and I'm always pushing my kids, and you know, they get tired of me. But it makes you feel like 100%. That boosts your confidence up. You know, let me tell you, you have things going on with your finances that are positive. You feel like you may only have $100, but you feel like I'm $1 million. You know, you really do. And you want to keep it going. Blackmore, I really appreciate like what you represent in a young man. It's important.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
So you know, I'm going to call you back, and I'm going to get you in front of like I'm the president of one of the chambers out here on Long Island, and I'm already got this idea already. I already got it. I'm like, yeah. He's going to come and talk about this. He's got to talk about this. So,
looking forward to it.
I would love that, you know, because I'm always talking about that, always talking about generational wealth. And it's important that young men see young men like you that know what they're doing, you know what they're doing. So I appreciate that. So tell us about one of your clients that really, really touched your heart and how it changed how you practice right now, no matter what you do.
She wasn't even technically a client. Mm-hmm. This is just like the first person who would take me seriously and acted like she was my client. This is kind of like what pushed me into the space.
Right.
And she was leaving one job, and she had like some savings, and she was looking into some different companies to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was teaching her about free cash flow, and if it passed that test and you already think it's a good idea for your reasons, it's likely going to be a good company.
Mm-hmm.
So she started investing in it. And then there would be times where, you know, the overall market would do bad.
Right.
And she was like, well, should I sell? I'm getting scared. And I would ask, and this is important too for everybody.
Right.
She'd be like, should I sell? Should I sell? And I would ask her, did the reason that you buy the company, the reason you bought it, did that reason change? And she said, no. And I said, well, hold on to it. And, and it's probably about, maybe 4 years later, she was comfortably within 6 figures from these investments.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing the power of being the agent of bringing in a couple $100,000 into the community, that I thought that was very powerful.
Right.
So then once I started putting some content out, and then people would like send me screenshots showing, oh, they made this much money over this amount of time, that felt very powerful to me. Like I'm playing a part in enriching the community.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it for me.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. This is so great for the audience and I to get to know all about your business. Thank you, Blackmore, for that. Now it's time to turn the tables and to know about you personally. So I'm going to ask you some questions to get to know you. And this is probably my audience's favorite part, because they're just sitting wanting to know more about you. So because I can't see you. So I've already asked you about who was the most important person that kind of pushed you into this business. But what is one of the best compliments that you ever received?
One of the best compliments I ever received?
Mm-hmm.
This may sound... this may sound a little narcissistic or something, but
no.
When they say, when somebody tells me, I can listen to you talk all day.
Oh, yes. I like it.
That's my favorite compliment.
I like that. And you know what? That's a great compliment because that means you're being effective in your communication. That's really good. That's excellent. I like that. What if you had a billboard, what would it say and why?
If I had a billboard?
Yeah.
What would it say and why? It would say... I can't put like a whole paragraph. I got to think of
You can put whatever you want up there. Put up whatever you want.
This is kind of cliche, but I would say health is wealth. Because, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in just getting the money to try to be rich, but we just really want to thrive and feel good and get high off of life.
Yeah.
So I will put health is wealth and get high off life, magic. Right. Something to that effect.
Okay. Sounds good to me. All right. What would you pick for your last meal?
My last meal?
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me McDonald's. Oh, that's right. You're a health guy. You're health. So no, that would be wrong.
Yeah, definitely not. But my last meal, I'll probably go out with, what's that flavor? It will be some junk food. What's the flavor? It's a Ben and Jerry's non-dairy ice cream, peanut butter baked. I think that's the flavor.
Okay.
Peanut butter baked Ben and Jerry's vegan ice cream.
Oh, good.
It's my last meal. Might as well.
Oh, yeah. Might as well splurge. Yeah. Would you have a pint or would you have like a gallon? Like we just.
I just did a pint. I ain't gonna go that crazy.
You still have some restraint.
Yeah, I don't even know if I finished a pint.
Right? Yeah, that is a lot because it's indulgent. It's really rich, too. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So final thoughts, Blackamoor. What are your best tips you can share with other people that want to get into this business or just want to get in business in general?
Know your why. You definitely got to know why you're doing it because that's what's going to keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
And... take things, this with anything, whether you're business, whether you're trying to start a new diet, whatever. Just take everything one moment at a time.
Yes.
Just work on making the best of that moment, perfecting that moment. Because if you try to, like when I started to change my life as far as nutrition and stuff is concerned, first you'll look at it like, oh man, I can't eat this for the rest of my life. Look at it like that is going to intimidate you and you'll stop. But if you just say, yo, my next meal, for my next move, I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm going to try to be as perfect as I can in this next moment and do that one moment at a time. That's the formula for success.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, audience, this brings us to the end of our show. I'm really excited to know you. Thank you for, you know, coming and being such an addition to something that we really wanted to talk about, generational wealth. That's really what it's all about. And reestablishing that Black Wall Street. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I appreciate you coming. And I know my audience is going to have questions. So, audience, I will have all the information for you about Blackamoor on the post. So you don't have to worry about it. I will add it. You can even send us a message if you didn't get all of his information, because I'm sure he's going to be very busy these coming weeks. But we thank you for listening, audience. If you enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it about on social media or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest on me, you can follow me everywhere on social media at EJW Coaching. And right now, I just want to thank you for being here. And you could have been anywhere else, but you're here with me tonight. Thanks again, and this is Edna White, your host, and my guest, Blackamoor.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yes, and we look forward to working with you real soon. Bye for now.
Indeed.
To the ones still searching for their sound.
your story be the fire. Let your pain be the spark. We rise together, igniting the dark.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.